Good morning from our home to yours. This morning we're reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through to 9. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. God and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may he result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God.
Thanks to Jackson and to Ian and Jane for reading the Bible for us. Well, my aim in this series, as I mentioned to Jackson earlier, is to help us love the resurrection as much as we love Jesus for his death on the cross for us. It's my observation that the resurrection is, well, less familiar to us and therefore underappreciated by us, or at least that's the possibility. I hope to help us love the resurrection. And of all the different chapters you can go to in the Bible that talks up the resurrection, 1 Peter chapter 1 is a great place to be coming. It both begins and ends on this note of resurrection. I see it there in verse 3. Praise God for the resurrection of Jesus. And at the end, verse 21, it's the resurrection that leads to implications for life in the present. So that's where we're going to come to. And I'm going to pray and then we'll dive in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you speak, and your word brings life to us. So please, would your Holy Spirit be at work now, bringing life, reviving and strengthening faith. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're not able to travel during this COVID-19 lockdown, but if you were able to travel, and if you were able to go to Australia and to New South Wales and to southeast New South Wales, if you drive into a little country town called Cooma, on the sign as you approach, it says, "Welcome to Cooma." And then it has underneath, "Gateway to the Snowy Mountains." Have you ever seen a sign like that? Maybe not there, but maybe around here. "Gateway to the Snowy Mountains." And that's because Cooma is the biggest town, the closest town to the mountains there. And so they call it the Gateway Town. And it's the idea of when you come to a new part of a new region, a new part of a place. Here's a town which kind of then opens out to you the region beyond it. I think it also means please spend a lot of money here, help the local economy. We really want you to take it away as much as you can to help you as you go on this about in this new country. Now, I want to suggest to you as we come to 1 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter and God speaking through him says that it's through the resurrection that God brings people into new life and into a new future with him. It's like he's saying the resurrection is the gateway into this new life with God. Doesn't mean a physical gateway, just like a town hasn't got a gate to open. It's through the resurrection that we enter into what he calls here living hope, a life with God. Now, I should say, as we get going here, the Apostle Peter assumes that we, the hearers, the readers, believe and agree that yes, the Lord Jesus has been raised to life. He's come out of the tomb. He's no longer dead. He's now alive with the Father in heaven. Many of us tuning in believe and affirm exactly that. But I'm also confident there's one or two or more tuning in for whom that's not the assumption, who struggle with the resurrection. I think of a guy I heard about recently who is happy to go along with Christian morals and teaching, live this way and not that way, forgive and be gracious and be kind and so on, but he doesn't go for the Christian teaching, the foundations for where those morals come from. He's not after that. He doesn't believe in a resurrection. Well, can I just say, if that's you tuning in, I'm so glad you are. I'm so glad you're looking into Jesus. I really want you to continue looking into Jesus, and particularly into his death and resurrection. It's the key way God plans to love you. It's how he loves us. Can I appeal to you? Keep looking into Christ and to his historical resurrection. His resurrection that the people saw him, touched him, had lunch with him. Look into Jesus. It's the way he intends to love you. And through his death and resurrection, riches from God are on offer to all who will receive him. Now, assumption aside, the assumption is God has raised him in history. On that basis, the Apostle Peter then takes another step forward and says, well, the resurrection is like a gateway into, here's my summary, a living future with the living God. That's how I think the teaching of this passage goes. Through the resurrection, God invites us, welcomes us into a living future with himself, the living God. Now, it says there in verse 3, in his great mercy, God brings people to new birth. This new birth comes out of God's kindness in his great mercy. God's the one who searches out lost people, people who are dead to him, ignorant of him, uncaring about him. The Apostle Peter, if you remember, we looked at this a couple of weeks ago. The Apostle Peter disowned the Lord Jesus, put distance between himself and God. Well, God could have said, well, have it your way, go. But instead, God acted with mercy. God sought Peter out. God gave him the new birth, and it completely changed him. So that here's Peter, the same Peter, writing these things to us. And now we find God does the same to every person. He seeks us out. He welcomes us in. He completely changes, gives us this new birth into a living hope. Elsewhere we're told how this new birth happens, like verse 23 talks about it being when a person hears the word of God and believes with the Holy Spirit's help. Our passage is not emphasizing how, it's emphasizing that God does it and praising him for it. And particularly directing us to see it's through this gateway of the resurrection that God brings people into this living, well, it says here, living hope. It's like entering a new country characterized by hope. Hope that's living and active. Hope that's no dead-end hope, you know, wishful thinking only hope. No, real hope, living hope, true hope. And as I've said, I think the way to understand this is a living future with the living God. Now, by way of structure here in this passage, we've got three parts. First, Peter describes this living future, verses 3 and 4. Second, he then addresses the obstacles to it in verses 5 to 7. And then third, he wants to assure believers of this future with God in verses 8 and 9. And I want to briefly step through each of these now. But ahead of doing so, can I just ask, do you believe this? We've seen what I think is the main point. God, through the resurrection, opens us to a living future with himself, a living God. Do you believe this? Do you believe that God's actually seeking a relationship? Seeking to have you as part of his future with him forever? Do you dare to believe this? Do you know, for some of us, that idea might be new. I've never thought about God wanting a relationship with someone like me. Here we find he does. Oh, for others of us, this thought is not only not new, it's actually very dear and precious to us. Of course he wants a relationship, and yes, I love to have this relationship with the Lord. But do you know, others of us might be thinking, come on, isn't this a bit fanciful? A living, active relationship with a living God? Isn't that a bit over the top sentimental? Well, can I tell you about Captain Moore? Because I found his story convincing, but his daughter's less so. It was in the news this week. A fellow from England, Captain Tom Moore, he's coming up to his 100th birthday, I understand, and he determined to walk 100 laps of his garden. Did you hear about this on his walking frame? And to make it interesting, the family thought, well, we'll see if we can raise some sponsorship money, and any money's raised will go to the NHS, the hospital workers in England. Well, the story caught people's attention, imagination, and sparked hope. And so they thought, oh, let's go for £1,000. Do you know they've raised £15 million? How amazing. And what a story. Just that the interview with his daughter, I just found less convincing. She said something like, look, here's a time where we need some good news. And she went on to say, if you believe tomorrow can be better, it will be better. It's the power of positive thinking. Believe it will be better, and it will be better. Is that what we've got with the resurrection? The power of positive thinking? If I think he's been raised, he will be raised, and therefore I'll have a better life. Do you know, people in history have said and done as much as that, kind of relegated the resurrection to just positive thinking. I want to tell you, that's not good enough for me. When real life bites down, we need more than positive thinking. I mean, when things get tough, when the job's no longer there, when the income dries up, when a loved one succumbs to death. I heard 4 days ago on Twitter, Samina Chowdhury wrote, I'm heartbroken. My husband, my children's father has passed away of COVID-19. I've no words to describe my pain. Do you know, honouring Samina as she and her family grieve demands so much more than mere positive thinking. The Apostle Peter says there is something more. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Death has not claimed him as death does claim us. Christ is risen. And because he now lives, he, through the resurrection, opens you, us, into a living future, a raised resurrection future with the living God, with himself. Here's real hope. This is not wishful thinking that flies away in the wind. This is concrete, grounded in the historical resurrection of Christ from the dead. Do you believe this? Will you dare to believe this? Will you go on believing this? Let's look to those three parts. This will be brief. This book of 1 Peter is like a richly dense fruitcake. There's so much to savour here. What we're going to touch on is merely scraping the surface. Please read it again at home. Think over these things. Now, first, in verses 3 and 4, Peter describes this future. We've already seen him call this a living hope, this future a living hope. Now he connects two more ideas to that one. In verse 4, he calls this living hope an inheritance. An inheritance. And you can see the parallelism. New birth into a living hope and into an inheritance. An inheritance, on the whole, is something to look forward to, isn't it? Providing it doesn't cause family fights, which they sometimes do. Providing that batch that you might inherit isn't all run down and needing work, which they sometimes are run down. The thing about inheritances are they rust out, they wear out, they get run down. Not this inheritance. Have a look carefully at verse 4. It says, this inheritance can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Here's an inheritance which is ever new, ever valuable, ever available. An inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. In the Old Testament times, The people thought of the land of Canaan as their inheritance. But now we learn of a heavenly inheritance, a heavenly Canaan, one that's kept undefiled and unfading. And I want to suggest to you, it's referring to the Lord himself. It's what the Old Testament anticipates when it says things like Psalm 16, Lord, you are my portion, a delightful inheritance. Or Psalm 73, when it says, whom have I in heaven but you? And on earth, I desire nothing but you. Or that great song of victory, Exodus 15, where it speaks of God not as an inheritance, but as a salvation. The Lord has become my salvation. Well, actually, that's our third word. This living future is described as a living hope, as an inheritance, and now third, as a salvation. They're all connected. And verse 5 says this salvation is kept by God in heaven for you. Nothing can steal this inheritance. It's highly likely that Peter and the Christians he was writing to were facing the threat of losing their life because they were Christians. Writing around the time of Emperor Nero, where Emperor Nero was burning Christians alive as street lights. It was awful, an awful persecution. Here's Peter saying, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you. And he goes on to say in verse 5, you are kept for it. You are by faith shielded by God's power until the coming of that salvation. Through the resurrection, God brings believers into this inheritance, into this salvation that he has for us. And I want to suggest to you it's a living relationship with the Lord himself. That's why I'm describing the whole as a living future with the living God himself. Let me put it like this. Some people believe in God for the gifts that they get from God, or the gifts they expect to get from God. But do you know, more than the gifts, God wants us to go after the giver. He himself. That's what he wants. He wants that living relationship with himself and us. He's our chief treasure. He's our soul's delight, as the Psalms say. Do you have this living relationship with the Lord? It's through the gateway of Christ's resurrection that the Lord opens up this new country, this new vista that we might never have thought of to us, to you. Do you believe it? Will you believe it? Will you go on believing this and waiting for the Lord Jesus to see him face to face? Second, now Peter addresses the obstacles. And what is the grief? Grief in all kinds of trials, suffering is the obstacle to this future with God. The person who's welcomed into a living hope might be tempted to think life in the present will only be good all the time. And so when suffering bites, when trials come, when persecution arises, then is a crisis of faith. A rude shock to find the trials of ordinary life arriving, let alone the peculiar sufferings of the Christian. When we find that the normal Christian life involves grief and suffering and trials, it might be tempted to turn and run away from God. But here the Apostle Peter addresses that danger, responding in two ways, by helping Christians cling to Christ. Showing, do you notice there, that God in his power is able to use what sufferings to refine your faith. And it's precious faith in the Lord. You might think, well, my faith is not as strong as that one, or my faith is not as great as that one. Do you know, if you trust in the Lord, that faith is precious, precious to God. Have a look at verse 7. Your faith of greater worth than gold. People lining up to buy lotto tickets to get some money. So many of them dashed. Do you know what's worth even more than a lotto ticket that wins? Faith in Christ of greater worth than gold. Keep on trusting in Jesus, won't you? And this faith is refined and deepened. God uses sufferings to do that work. And I think that's a great help. As we hit rocks in the Christian life, to know that God knows about these things and God can use these to result in praise on the day Jesus comes. You know, it's also a help there to have Peter show us the bigger picture of God bringing us into this future, because it then puts sufferings of the present time in that broader perspective. And actually, we see that the resurrection of Jesus far overshadows all those griefs of various kinds. Well, Peter addresses the obstacles to this future with God. We've had it described. We've had the obstacles addressed. Now, third, our passage, 8 and 9, seeks to assure every Christian of this future with God. How can you be sure that you also will have a living future with the living God? Well, in short, do you love him? Do you love Jesus? Do you love him with your heart? Do you have an affection for him in your life? Are his praises on your lips? Do you like to speak of Jesus with others? In short, do you love him? Peter says, though you haven't seen him, you love him. He is the great assurance. When someone loves Jesus, the future is already laid out for us. Peter is such an excellent pastor here when he affirms their love and their joy, our love and our joy. Now, Peter could have said, though you haven't seen him, oh, I have, let me tell you all about him. And he could have made it all about himself, but instead what he does is he affirms the response that they and we are making. You love him, he says. You believe in him. And you're filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, a joy that goes beyond present sufferings. Can you say that you have that joy in the Lord Jesus? These are evidence of God at work in you, in me, in us. They're evidence of a person who's been brought through the gateway into this living future with the living God. As you have love for Jesus, as you're made able by God to endure hardships and trials, be assured of your place with him. Now, do you see what's happened here? Peter has laid out this living future with the living God. He's then described it, verses 3 and 4. He's addressed obstacles to it. He sought to assure us that we'll have a place in it. And so the question remains, do you have this future with this living God? Peter so wants you to not only have it, but then to praise God for it. Have you begun to see why the resurrection of Jesus is so important? How we need this at this present time. I mean, actually, it's great that we've got this moment's pause to sit up and think and look ahead and consider the future. What a gift that is. I hope you're taking the time to consider your eternal future. This passage draws you to do that. So much of modern life squeezes out the notion that we think about our eternal future. We're so busy and harried to be consumed with life in the present moment that we never look up. We need this message. Can you believe this message? For others of us, the trials of life can mount up so steeply that we can despair of life itself and think there's no hope. Here's a passage full of hope. We need this message. Can you believe it? Will you believe it? You know, others of us are just weighed down with responsibilities too numerous to number. Here's a passage that says, there's a life with God, a future with God, that he has provided, that he's kept safe, that he will keep safe for you. Oh, we need this message. Will you go on believing it? God has raised Jesus from the dead. And through this resurrection, God welcomes us into a living future with him, the living God. What a glorious hope this is. What a head-lifting message this is. What a marvelous Redeemer we have in the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, by your mercy, you've opened to us a living future with you, our living God. Please, God, would you enable us to not only receive this, but then to go on believing in you. Please, would you help us hold on to Christ Help us to endure suffering. Grow our love for him. And please grow our love and service for others. We ask and pray this in the name of the risen Jesus. Amen.